I have to start with a confession. I'm not sure I've ever been more ready for 1 year to turn into the next. I know it's arbitrary, it's just one day. And I say every Sunday how each day is a new beginning, as is each moment. I still believe that. But this year, this marker of time from 1 year to the next, it feels to me like it matters a little more than usual. I've been feeling this collective need, in fact, to let go and to start again, to feel the chance to set ourselves and our lives on a new course. 2017 has been a hard year for many. Therapists and counselors report a meaningful increase in people requiring extra support for anxiety or depression, for struggles in their marriage, and as parents, grandparents, and friends. The New York Times recently reported there has been a meaningful spike in anxiety in teenagers and preteens. It is not easy to be a kid or an adult these days. There is no one precise reason, of course. Personal stories of struggle and change and loss are mixed together with all the social reasons. A less stable government and country, especially for those of us on the margins, along with the high incidence of natural disasters across the globe, paired with a lack of political will to deal with climate change or the insights of science, like, at all. All this combined with a growing loss of trust in our neighbors and an increasing sense of isolation and loneliness. We live in challenging times. Being a leader in this church over the last 12 months has allowed me often to witness much of this close up and personal in conversations and over email and text and Facebook conversations with many of you and with many, many others. And along the way in our work for economic and immigration and racial justice, the stories keep coming. The stories of struggle and also strength have been piling up in my heart and in our collective hearts as we try to stay awake to all that life is asking of us today. Much of this year has been intense, and sometimes that has been beautiful. Because it has been a challenging year, it is a challenging year. But I would also say it has been one of the most impactful and vibrant years that this church and our community has ever seen. From voting to be a sanctuary congregation and companioning Ingrid, to delving more deeply into our spiritual growth in small groups and classes and in our worship together, to committing to each other and our mission to unleash courageous love in new and bigger ways. This year, we learned that courageous love often requires a capacity to live with a certain degree of pain, while still remaining open to grace. It has been harder than I think we would have anticipated, but also we have been for each other in big and small ways, signs of hope and encouragement. And that's the part that is beautiful and inspiring. A couple weeks ago, I heard an interview with Rebecca Traister. She's of New York Magazine. She was talking about the Me Too movement. That movement that's bringing to light the stories of misconduct, harassment, and assault that have been too long protected in silence and secrecy. The interviewer asked her about where this cultural moment would go next and what it would really mean. And Traister responded by saying that it would mean nothing if it was really only a moment. She said, anyone interested in making sure that this conversation helps transform the power structures and dismantles the injustices should be aware that they're signing up for a project that's going to last their entire lives. I'm not exaggerating, she said. This is a long haul. Triester's words have stuck with me because I think they could be said about much of what has happened this year in our church and in our community and in our world. So much as of what has been revealed, which I say it that way intentionally, that it's not just about what has happened, but more so what has been revealed, cannot be fixed by way of a really good New Year's resolution, or even by a transformational midterm election, and not even with the election of a new president. Sorry. We are living in long-haul times. And this work, whatever the work of courageous love is calling to for each of us and our shared work, this is work that is going to last our whole lives. And so my question lately has been about how we will sustain ourselves and one another through this long haul. I know that many of you are hikers. You wouldn't live in Colorado if you didn't have some draw to the outdoors. My family and I have been hiking a lot in the past couple years. This past summer, my son and I, we tried out some longer trips. Not too long, he's only 9. But so we've got to about a little over 8 miles, almost 9 miles. But I bring this up here because I've realized in some of these longer trips that the pack you can easily carry at 3 or 4 miles becomes a lot harder at 8 or 9 miles, especially if some of those miles are at higher elevations or require a scramble or two, which is particularly challenging because actually when you're hiking longer, you need a lot more stuff. You need more water and snacks and more gear for the weather, which means that the longer the journey, the more thoughtful you need to be about what you take with you, and even more, what you leave behind. As we mark this 1 year passing into the next, we can take this opportunity to consider this question of how we will sustain ourselves for this work that will last our whole lives. So in a moment, I'm going to invite us all into this time, this opportunity for reflection, where we can consider together with intention what we will need to sustain this path, a path that will surely involve at least a few scrambles. It already has. And most importantly, what we should leave behind and let go if we're going to maintain the strength, endurance, agility and balance to keep going, even when the terrain is rough and the road feels endless, what we will need to let go of so we can actually enjoy the beauty that is also here along the way. The idea of letting go often sounds simple, like just drop something, identify it's a problem, and let it go. But as the monk in our story reminds us, a lot of the times we can end up carrying stuff that we never even wanted to pick up in the first place and not even realize that we've been carrying it. Stories, worries, regrets accumulate and tire us so that even if we're still able to make that journey, it's with less joy than it could have been. Our packs are too heavy and there's not enough room for the stuff that we actually need.